A Shishkin Productions podcast.
So whatever, I'm not gonna. I'm not shitting on them for being bad actors.
Yeah, also,
you're not an actor. You're making a YouTube video.
Even if you're a great actor, if the lines are bad, then you're gonna struggle. I mean, that's what happened to me in the Christmas special.
All right. Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome back to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast. Happy 2023.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Made it.
Happy New Year to you, Matt King.
The earth is in its Jordan year.
Oh, my God.
23. Is it? 2023. Mm. I guess it's in its 20th Jordan year.
Yeah. We kind of manufactured the calendar and the idea of time and all that shit.
It's really confusing. Way to kick this one off. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's another, this is going to be our second episode that we are recording.
Videos.
Yeah.
One big video.
Possibly for YouTube. The floor
is
going to
make a bunch of small videos.
Yeah. Possibly for some other place. Who knows? It'll be somewhere. Maybe it'll be on Twitter at Sizzle Reel Gang. Maybe it'll be on Instagram at Sizzle Reel Gang.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be on TikTok. That's Shishkin Productions. And maybe it'll be on Gmail, sizzlerealgang@gmail.com.
Call in.
Maybe.
You're the master of the segue these days.
Yeah. And, maybe if you call in, we'll send you a copy of the raw video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a call.
100%.
If you
call
cold
in
line.
And you leave a message saying that you want a copy of the raw footage from this,
yeah,
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. You can catch me making off color jokes right before everything starts.
Yeah. I don't know what you were saying before everything started. Oh, someone just walked in.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I just walked in. Wow. No, I don't remember what you were saying before it started. We're talking about Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, sure.
It wasn't really that. You're saying he's from Jersey and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what's the number? Hold on.
It is 332-333-4361.
Call.
Is that your slide whistle?
Yeah, trying to do some like mic jokes. You know? Call in, leave a message.
Get a camera on this guy, and all of a sudden he's a fucking prof comic.
Hamming it up. Pew! I don't think anyone's called in a really long time, which is fucked up. But.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone listens anymore except for Kevin.
You guys.
And maybe Joe.
Yeah. All right, well, good. Good thing we started recording.
And maybe Nancy.
Good thing we fucking started recording on video. Chris.
Yo.
What have you been up to this week, bro?
Yeah, you know, it's been weird because the last time I was in the office was to record Sizzle Reel. And that's pretty much the reason I'm here today.
Yeah,
it's been a little bit slow. You know, it's the holidays. There's not what gets done the week between Christmas and New Year's.
I wrote it in the rundown. I called it the in between time.
Oh, that's what that means.
That means.
I mean, it is in between time. There's nothing super pressing. Like I have one or two projects that I could make some headway on, I guess, but it's not urgent. And it's only like a couple small tweaks that I need to do. So it's like, all right, I'm just kind of enjoying the last week before the new year.
Yeah, I feel you. I always use the in-between time as a time to kind of like get your thoughts together from the past year.
Okay.
And kind of get kind of organized and ready to take on the new year.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time I think I've mentioned this in the past, like I used to use it to, you know, think of like dream clients that I wanted to get, or people I wanted to talk to or try to set up meetings with, and just like start writing those lists down and kind of plan where you want to take the first few quarters of the next year.
Sure.
So that's kind of what I've been up to, doing that kind of shit. And, you know, dealing with these podcasts and all that.
Yeah. Getting all the podcasts out. And obviously we're trying new things on this podcast.
Yeah.
There
was a time I'll say this.
Okay. All right.
So this is, I don't know where the fuck this is going to go, but we did try. We thought about making a YouTube channel for this.
Yeah.
And ultimately decided
we started
against
to
it.
Like we, yeah. You did like 3 or 4 hours of
script writing
to prepare for it. And I mean, you can probably speak more to it, but basically what you found was that niche has already been filled and there is no reason for us to,
it just seems dumb.
We can't spend that much time doing it because we have an actual company to run, you know, like that's not where we make our money. You know, for those YouTubers, they can afford to put that much time into it because that's a big revenue source for them.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's like, well, we could build this, but we don't really need to. That's not ever going to make as much money as our client work is going to. Yeah. So we can't afford to spend days on
it. It's like, it's just different. Like if I was like, you know, like 23, then I would maybe be like, okay, cool. Let's do it. Let's like take the time to build a YouTube channel. But sure. I'm like, I'm 33, you know, so not gonna, I just can't do it. It's like, just not worth my time.
Yeah. You know? I mean, for sure. Like if it made sense, like if we had an extra day a week, or if we wanted to work on it when we got home or on weekends, if we still had that like that passion about it,
yeah,
sure. But we're just gonna be creating more content for YouTube that doesn't need to exist.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so what, like make shit? We already make shit for like six people to hear, you know. Yeah. I don't want to like make more shit for less than six people to see. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm just nihilistic.
I will
about
say
it.
We did have some good format ideas. There was like some good stuff
in there. yeah
One of the things we wanted to do, I'll just give away all the sauce right now.
Yeah, why not?
Because we're not going to do it. We might do it, but if you want to do
it,
look,
if enough people call in and email in and tell us that we really need to do it, maybe we'll reconsider. It would need to be
a lot.
Nancy would have to call in.
Yeah, if Nancy calls us back, we'll start it. Plug-in unboxing, that was one that we wrote down that I actually thought was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, so that what that would be is basically I download a plugin for After Effects or for Premiere, and I try it out. You know, I play with it, and I give my initial review, and like if I think it's worth it for you to get, and you know, pros, cons, and just a little demonstration.
Yeah, I think again, that's one of those where you're like, damn, cool idea, but it would like literally, you would have to play with it for like 2 to 3 hours just to like make it worth it.
Yeah,
and then what does that become? It becomes like a maybe maximum 15-minute video. And so that's 2 to 3 hours of just recording the process. That's not, then you have to edit those 3 hours down.
Yep.
This shit takes like 2 days. It's like, we don't have 2 days to kill on one video.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of it, maybe not so much for this one specifically, but we don't, our office isn't really set up in a way that's like very aesthetically pleasing for YouTube type, you know, usually it's a person in their like office and the background is set up.
Like they have cameras that like the camera goes there.
It's a dedicated space to create those videos. And we don't have that. And it doesn't make sense for us to have it.
The plugin unboxing is one that's like kind of time intensive. We also had like tips, you know, which we've done in the past. We wanted to break them out a little bit more and make it more educational. That's where I wrote four of those. And then I looked at like, I just typed in one of the tips into YouTube and there was just like pages and pages and pages
of
results that like were already had a lot of views and were really, really well done videos. And it was like, what are we doing? Like you can't, this is not the hill to go up.
Well, right, so a couple years ago you started making edit tips for TikTok. Like they were shot for TikTok, not for anything else. It wasn't, you know, a YouTube video that was kind of cut down and condensed and reframed. Right. It was just for TikTok because that niche didn't really exist on TikTok. And it's still, it's not very popular, but, you know, you're just filling a space that wasn't there.
Yeah.
YouTube doesn't have the same issue.
Yeah, it's true. The other ones, I don't know. And these are things that I think we still might do because we kind of just do them on the show anyways. Top five of like random categories. We do that a lot.
And that's a fun little breakout thing.
Yeah. And, you know, the sizzle reel kind of was one of them. We wanted to just like pull out like clips from this show, which I think that's what we're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I think is cool is dissecting an edit. I'm still down to do those because I think those can be done pretty easily.
Okay.
That's going to be a matter of like, I actually want like Flora to pick some things and give to us and we'll whichever.
I don't know
one
if I could dissect an edit.
Yeah, but I mean, reacts, right?
Like react,
we wrote it dissecting an edit. Really, it's like editor reacts to whatever. So I think that'll be, you know, I don't know. We'll see what ends up fucking happening with these. Basically, I think it's useful and I'm glad we're doing it. Glad we're filming it.
Sure.
You know, it sucks to set up the camera every time and it kind of sucks to have to edit it, like go through it and sync shit up and blah, blah, blah.
But setting up the camera, it literally takes me like 10 minutes. It's not that big of a deal. It's sitting on the same side of the table is a little bit weird. Like the energy is just a little bit different. We just got to keep getting used to it. Yeah. And I mean, really, yeah, I would not want to do the edit. I know it's not difficult. It just takes time.
Well, the thing is, because we've already heard it before. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's why doing the edit sucks, is because it's like, God damn it. Now I have to like go through this again. And it's also, at the end of the day, like when you're editing videos of yourself, it's fucking, it sucks.
Yeah, I would never want to do that.
You're just like, God damn, dude. Like,
I would just want to cut all of it out.
Wild. To me, I just feel like it's like a wild exercise in narcissism, because it's just like, you know, and I say that as someone who like makes music. It's that's also an exercise in narcissism. It all is, man. Creation.
That's what art is, bro.
It's a self-involved act.
Except for what I do. I just make videos for clients.
Yeah, but that's not art. That's work.
That's true.
You know, that's the difference. Like, art is when you do it for yourself or for expression.
Yeah.
Work is when you're getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's also a really problematic definition, I guess.
Whatever.
Because art, like, that's just basically saying artists don't get paid.
I mean, they don't.
Sometimes they do,
but like,
I guess it's usually when they.
Well, I mean, I think you can. Some of the things that I've worked on, you could consider art. Like, there is an art to it, absolutely. But that's not really.
It's
not my approach.
It's a craft.
It's a craft.
Like, when's the last time you made actual art?
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, it's been a while. Like, I would even argue, the sizzle reel is not art. Weird, I know.
I was never,
crazy, but I'm gonna say the sizzle reel's not.
I was never going to argue on the other
on behalf of the sizzle reel being the art podcast.
Definitely not.
Chris, look, here's the two things. We're gonna do New Year's resolutions today.
Oh God!
But that's gonna be the second half. We've got some really interesting stuff coming up. For this though, for the end of this segment, I have two things here. All right, one's about artificial intelligence,
okay,
of course, and one is about, it's like a forecast for podcasts from The Verge.
Okay.
What do you want to start with? The
podcast forecast.
Yeah, the podcast forecast. Yeah. What do you want to start with?
The podcast
forecast. Oh, that is what you want to start with? The podcast forecast?
Yeah, let's start with the podcast forecast.
All right, well, it's an article from The Verge, and it says, before I read the name of what the headline here, I just want to point out, have I not been fucking saying this for the last like 6 months?
Yeah,
forever.
But I'll take it a step further and say there was never much of a market. But
it says podcasting could be in for a rocky 2023. The ad market is soft. Layoffs will likely continue, but the industry should hopefully be all right. I've said it before on the show. I'll say it again. Like, podcasting is easy.
Yeah, of course it is.
We do it. It's pretty easy. The hard part is, the hard part is doing all the behind the scenes, like the booking and all of that. But honestly, at this point, people are so forgiving of like sound quality and shit that really, like, as long as you have a big company name behind you and you have the right email addresses and the show is not like really bad, you can probably book someone to just like come on and do a Zoom call.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've booked people who reached out to us, for God's sake. It's like, how did you even find us? Mm-hmm. But I do think it's easy to make a podcast. I don't think it's easy to make a good podcast. Like, I think the content part is the most difficult part, to be actually entertaining or insightful. You know, usually that requires real research. Or you just have to have like really intelligent speakers who have a vast knowledge of a lot of things that they can get to really quickly. But I think it's difficult to make a podcast that people will be interested in.
I think that's just a signal to noise type thing, though. I think it's really easy to make one that sounds professional and sounds good.
That sounds professional. But, yes, yeah. I agree with that. But that is actually like that.
Interesting
the content
or whatever.
Is actually, yeah,
true, true, true.
I think that's
so
more
much
difficult.
Of that though is based like they go so hand in hand because like, you know, I like, for example, I think I can have a good conversation like Rounds of Sound. I think it's a good show. Yeah. I think that's actually a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it is hard to book because there's so much competition in that space and we don't have like anyone who we've tied our rope to, so to speak, right? Like, we don't have a publicist. We don't have
no one who you've tied your anchor to.
Tied our anchor to, whatever. Like, nice. I like that. But we don't have like a publicist. We don't have an agent. We don't have any of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we basically just do cold outreach or we like tweet at bands and are like, do you want to come on the show? And that's cool. That works. Like, for the level we're at, it's fine. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, the show actually sounds fucking good and the concept is good.
Yeah, of course.
But that's never going to make any fucking ad money.
No.
Because I think that, like, that's not a sustainable way to make money is ads.
The content there is, like, it's an interview show, you know, so it's for people who are specifically interested in music and more specifically those bands that
those
do come on.
Artists,
exactly.
Yeah, makes sense. I think that ad revenue is not a very, like, reliable or solid model when it comes to podcasting. I don't think it ever has been. I've always thought like the what is it, CPM or whatever, those rates like so trash that it's impossible to even compete unless you already are, like I've said this before, like if you're Conan O'Brien and you start a podcast, of course you're going to make ad money.
Well,
but like, I mean, independent podcasters can't make revenue from ads, really. I mean,
you can if you're big enough and you work long, you know, you work to build your subscriber base up over time. But it's, I think that the podcast market is like pretty much every other market under capitalism, where like a few whales take up all of the listens. So, you know, like there is a clear 1% of podcasts, like there's a clear 1% of everything, you know, like it's the Walmarts, the Amazons, because they grow, they get so big that they, you know, they just keep, they're like this gravitational force where, because they're already the biggest and the best, it's easier for them to stay that way and to continue getting listens that way, because, you know, they have the money and they have the reputation.
I just don't understand, like, man, I hate to say it, I just don't understand what companies have to gain with making podcasts. I just don't really get it. Is it like a brand, what's it called, like, you know, brand building type thing, just or
something to just, I just don't, they just want to be in that space.
I just don't really understand it. Yeah, like what's the end goal, like sell merch?
I mean, or, maybe,
because like I don't know. I mean, for comedians, it's like get the word out about your
comedians
shows,
makes
and
sense.
You know, get people to watch your specials and shit like that.
I think sports makes a lot of sense for like daily podcasts. That's, or you know, weekly, whatever it is, like topical podcasts that are really only useful that day or that week.
Yeah.
Because,
but I'm talking
so
about like from an indie perspective, like not like The Ringer or whatever. The Ringer are obviously going to make money on their shit because people go to that outlet, right? Like The Ringer starts their shows with like 3 minutes of advertising.
Yeah, of course.
It's fucking crazy. But like, if you, what's the point in indie podcast existing? I don't really think that there is one, honestly.
I mean, I would say it's just to do something that you enjoy doing.
It's like music. It's like music. It's the same thing. It's like just being creative.
Yeah, we're not doing sizzle reel for the money.
I am.
$25 over 2 years, I think, is what we've made roughly. Like,
thanks to Germs one episode. That's I think that's what the network has pulled.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's bad.
But yeah, I mean, we really just do it at this point. It's just like a radio vlog of running
habit.
The business. It
at
really
this point,
is a bad,
it's just
habit.
A bad habit.
Yeah, it's just something that we have to do every week, you know.
Yeah, fucking I like it. I still have
no,
a lot
it's
of fun.
Fun it's
doing
fun.
It. I'm just thinking like in general, because like, the article says podcasts are in for a rocky 2023. And
well,
it's like,
I think
it's been in La La Land for 2 years because it was unrealistic expectations to begin with.
Well, I think, I mean, the pandemic obviously had a big role in podcasts blowing up because people were home all the time and they needed shit to do and shit to listen to. And now, you know, we're back to normal, and some podcasts have stayed, you know, they're still around and still relevant and still churning
still
shit
kicking.
Out. Yeah, but you know, so many of them just don't, you know, what's the motivation to listen? Like, I don't have time. Yeah. I don't have time for more than one podcast in my life, to be perfectly honest, you know,
really?
Like, yeah,
I have
like,
a lot that I'm subscribed to. I was about to say that I don't actually listen to all the ones I'm subscribed to though. Like,
I think
I listen to maybe like consistently to like six. About.
I mean, at this point, like
six to eight,
I walk to and from work. That's 40 minutes. And I go to the gym for 30 minutes. So that's like just over an hour a day that I have to dedicate to it. And that's really all I'm, you know, I'm not going to find more time. I don't care about it enough.
I listen to 2 basketball podcasts. I listen to 1, 2, 3, I would say, comedy podcasts. And then I listen to maybe, if you combine it like in little bits and pieces, like a tech type. There's a couple tech shows, but I don't listen to them like every day. I just kind of pick and choose episodes. So probably like 6 shows.
I really just,
but that's different because that's how I consume media. Like, I don't watch TV, you know. Like,
yeah,
you just watch Glass Onion. I'm not gonna watch Glass Onion. I'm just not gonna, probably, you know.
Wow. It's pretty good.
Nah, I'm only gonna watch it if it's in theaters. They fuck themselves by only doing 1 week in theaters.
I think that's stupid.
What, that they did that? I agree.
No, that you can only watch a movie in theaters.
I want to watch that movie in theaters. That's why I don't want to watch it on TV. It's because I know my TV setup like isn't good enough for me to enjoy that movie. I'm going to turn it on and go, this sucks, and I'll look at my phone and shit.
Maybe.
And I don't have nice speakers and the screen's not big enough, and it's just like It's just not good. I like, I'd rather go see it in a fucking theater.
Do I have a movie room at my building?
If you want to rent out your
I don't know if I
theater
have
in your apartment building, I will go watch it there.
I had one at the old one, but I don't know if I have one here.
All right, last thing. AI.
What's up?
This thing says it's a film that was written and directed by AI. You can explain really what happened, how it was made.
Sure. So, you know, we talked about it on this show a few weeks ago. ChatGPT is this pretty new AI released by OpenAI, who also does DALL-E. And this it's basically a chatbot, but you can ask it to write a specific script about something, or, you know, give a plot line. You can... Basically, if you know how to talk to it, you can get it to do a lot of work for you.
Yeah.
So some AI entrepreneur slash literal rocket scientist on Twitter.
Was it actually a rocket scientist?
According to this.
Oh, damn.
His name is Aaron Kemmer.
Oh, that's the person who like directed it, didn't it? Didn't they? Or not directed, but like acted in it and shit or
something.
Yeah,
probably.
Their name was in the credits.
Yeah, absolutely. So they said, my co-producer who writes scripts for a living was blown away when ChatGPT produced nearly 50 scripts for us in 1 hour. This took months of work down to a single hour. So they were just kind of giving it prompts. And they, you know, they got 50 scripts, and from there, they kind of started to go a little bit deeper. They asked it to create a log line, and then the, you know, further refine each idea when asked for more details until the complete idea kind of started to come together. And then they even, once they had the script, or, you know, roughly the script, like the outline of everything,
yeah,
they got even more advanced, and they asked for a step-by-step shot list. So, you know, the chatbot came back with one opening shot, wide angle shot of the siblings' living room showing mm-hmm. the TV screen, two medium shot of the TV screen, three medium shot of Jake. Like, you know, it's a rundown,
like, yeah, shot,
it's a literal shot
by
list.
Shot.
Yeah. And then,
but then it went even further.
Sure.
They actually had it provide the, I think, It didn't come back with like recommendations on like what lenses to use and the focus decisions and like what the actual frames look like.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, where everyone was in, you know, like the composition of the room itself, what all the actors were wearing.
I mean, look, this says in the end that ChatGPT AI provided the filmmakers with over 50 pages of notes for the producers to use. And this says after they had 22 detailed shots and the script, the co-producer took the idea of creating the AI film from a half joke to a full-fledged reality. And that's where they lined up everyone to get involved and to make the movie. It's called The Safe Zone. Mm-hmm. If you go on YouTube, you can find it. It's called The Safe Zone, first film directed and written by artificial intelligence AI, which that right there already like is like, God, I hate YouTube so fucking much.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you could just call it The Safe Zone. But in order to get the SEO up, it's called first film in all caps, directed and written by artificial intelligence AI. And then the screen, the thumbnail is like AI writes and directs a movie.
Yeah, the thumbnail
is like a crying girl. It's a fucking whack.
The title itself, I don't have an issue with because it is just very descriptive. It's the capitalized directed and
that's
written.
That's what I'm saying. That's like that typical YouTube shit.
Yeah,
shit's whack.
It's like,
I don't blame them. They're trying to get views.
Yeah, because everyone on YouTube is fucking 12 years old and they love capitalized words.
I mean, this person already has 145,000 subscribers though. So
I mean, yeah.
they probably were already like a YouTuber that I didn't even know about.
Yeah. But so we watched the movie. It's about 4 minutes long.
Yeah,
I'd
it's
say.
About 4 minutes long, and then there's like 2 minutes of credits.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking, for a movie that no one directed. So fucking ridiculous. It was cool though. It was cool. And honestly, in terms of the way it looks good. Like,
yeah,
the way they
it
shot
was
it
shot well.
Looks fucking yeah. sick.
The I mean,
the shot sheet.
I took
a couple
notes.
I mean, I wrote, my biggest takeaway was that the shot sheet is a really, really cool thing that ChatGPT could do because
that
that's
is, yeah.
always kind of the hardest part. Like, what do they say? Directing is like finding out, like knowing where to put the camera.
Yeah.
So like when this thing just tells you where it thinks you should put the camera, it makes it really easy. And it's a great learning exercise, especially
sure.
I think if you're a first time director. You'll be like, okay, cool. Here are my options. Let me film all it the way it says. And
yeah.
then when I get into the edit, I'll start learning how these things interact with each other.
I definitely like the idea of using the AI to have a starting point. You know, like I wouldn't blindly do whatever it suggests, but it, you know, it gives you some idea of what might work. Yeah. Or you can ask it to do the same shot list 4 different times and then just pick your favorite one.
Yeah. I mean, all in all, I was glad that they made it. I think it's cool. I think obviously, like, you know, they're not pros, and I wrote that the acting was really bad.
The acting was
yelling
the whole time. Terrible. No offense to them, but they are not actors.
They're not actors. Yeah. It's okay. You know, I'm just glad that they made it, because it's cool.
I think it's cool. I think it's a fun exercise. What I will say is, look, the acting wasn't good, but the script wasn't good either. Like, the script was absolute trash.
Yeah,
which
was bad.
This is what I learned from using ChatGPT a few times. It's very, very general about everything. It's very vague, and it will kind of repeat the same thing in 5 different ways throughout the course of, you know, even a 2-paragraph summary. It will just repeat things, and it's so generic.
I think that we probably mentioned this a few episodes ago when we did our like ChatGPT breakdown or whatever. I think that it's amazing at writing outlines. Like, mm-hmm. Like if you tell it to outline it, it's going to be dope. You start asking it to write like dialogue, or like to write a conversation, like a nuanced conversation between two people, it just isn't gonna.
It's not very good.
That's what I wrote down here. Back and forth, same shit. Is that saying the same thing back and
forth? Absolutely.
And they'll be like there's in this one, spoiler alert, there's a thing called the safe zone.
Sure.
And the conversation's something like where one of them would be like, I think I should be the one who goes to the safe zone. And the other person's like, why do you think you should be the one to go to the safe zone? Yeah. You're not even related. And they're like, you think I'm not related? And then the third person's like, that's right, you're not related, and you shouldn't be going to the safe zone.
It kind of sounds like a robot wrote it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, we don't need like 8 lines from 3 different people to get this point across. Like,
another place where I don't think it is strong at all is like writing characters who, you know, have a specific personality, or, you know, like building those characters at all. Like, everyone's the same generic person.
Right. That's why I think it's an awesome like starting point, and it makes a great outline. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's kind of where my like the actors aren't good comment comes in, because it's like an actor does more than just read lines on a page. The actor has to bring the nuance to the fucking part. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean? So whatever. I'm not shitting on them for being bad actors.
Yeah. Also,
you're not an actor. You're making a YouTube video.
Even if you're a great actor, if the lines are bad, then you're gonna struggle. I mean, that's what happened to me in the Christmas special.
Okay. All right. I mean, the lines were bad. That was a first draft. Even in the thing, it says it's a first draft. But that was more about the edit. This is an editing podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Don't blame the actors. Blame the editors. I don't know. That's all I kind of really had on that. Any last thoughts on it? My overarching thought is I'm glad they made it. I think it's really cool. I think AI is going to be very, very beneficial for filmmaking.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah. I, you know, this obviously isn't the use case for AI. It's not to use the AI to create the entire movie. I think it's a very smart exercise to do with it, but ultimately it's just another tool in your arsenal that can help you write the movie and maybe speed up certain parts of the workflow. But ultimately, like, unless you're, I will say, maybe if you're writing some like kid's story for YouTube that you want to animate somehow, that could be a pretty good use case.
Well, I mean, there was a thing that blew up on Twitter a few weeks ago where like some tech bro basically like used a variety. You saw that?
Yeah,
a variety of different AIs to write a kid's book.
Yeah.
And then all of the like literary and illustrator community was just like, just fucking going off on him. Like, fuck you. Like, blah, blah. And I was like, man, I see both sides
of this, honestly.
Like,
yeah.
I get it, but also like, they're all like, it's not a good book. Like, what even is this? What is this? Like, they were pointing out in the illustrations how like, underneath the table, like this person's legs just like disappear. And it's like, dude, no one's saying it's good.
Yeah.
It just is. So like, obviously yours is going to be better.
I mean, but it's like, you don't have to like it, but it's also like, who are you to tell others what they can and can't do? Like how they can create art. Like even if they're using an AI,
yeah.
Like what, you know, you can't be the gatekeeper there. Unfortunately.
Their point also is like, what's it learning from? It's learning from past work that we've all created. So it's like undercutting every artist, you know, that it's borrowed from, which, you know, my ending stance on it is like, the book sucked and the drawings sucked,
sure.
Like, and they're not fucking good, and they're like literal trash, and the ebooks and shit should be free because they fucking suck.
Yeah,
but if you like, a human will write a better one and illustrate a better one, and that, you know, it just sucks because overall it starts to drive down the price of labor, and that is really the bad part about it.
Maybe. I just don't, like, was that person really going to hire an illustrator otherwise? You know,
yeah, they
like,
probably wouldn't have even made it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's always going to be like a very low bar, you know, even if it becomes a part of the industry, it's going to be the lowest shitty, you know, like the ebooks that you buy on Amazon for 99 cents that no one's ever heard of, like just self-published garbage, you know, that's
end of the day. Everyone should not have to work.
Yeah. AI should do all the work for
just
us.
Let AI do the work.
Yeah.
Redistribute the wealth.
We'll go to the safe zone.
I'm going to be in the... only one of us can go to the safe zone.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm already paying Elon Musk $8 a month to be in the safe zone.
They made a little corny joke about that. That was weird. Okay, whatever. Let's go to the break, and then when we come back, we'll talk New Year's resolutions.
Woo. Welcome back, Sizzlers.
Hello.
It is a very happy new year for us all. And, you know, it's also a time of reflection for us all.
Yeah.
And that means that it's time for us to reflect on our 2022 resolutions.
The new year is like a puddle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like it's a puddle of mud.
Time for reflection.
Yeah.
You can see your reflection.
Uh-huh.
And you never know how deep it can really go until you step in it.
Yeah. Well, I really stepped in it this year. Let me tell you what, just looking at my resolutions from the past year.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's go through our past ones.
Okay.
One by one.
Yep.
Like you'll do one, I'll do one. We'll switch off.
Yep.
And then we'll do our 2023 ones. We'll unveil it right here live on the show.
Woo.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. All right. My first 2022 resolution was commit to design.
The vaguest, like the most vague type of thing. You maybe said it differently. Maybe this is just how I wrote it down to kind of condense it.
No, I think that was my phrasing, honestly.
But what did you mean by that?
I think the idea behind it was to become a little bit more serious about using things like Illustrator and After Effects and like creating my own designs. And, you know, I guess adding graphic designer to my repertoire, whatever.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, obviously I can create things in Photoshop, Illustrator, After Effects. They're not amazing. They're pretty basic, but you know, I understand the fundamentals of everything. But if you ask me to create something like big and complicated, I'm not really going to be able to do it. Or if I can, it's going to take me much longer than I should be spending on it. So for the most part, we use things from Motion Array, you know, we use stock stuff as a starting point. And I still think that makes the most sense. But at this time, I had just spent like 2 weeks working on the tree fort, billboards,
right,
and the bus wrap. And like I had been really kind of getting better at Illustrator and that whole workflow and how Illustrator works within After Effects, you know, designing things in Illustrator and then importing the .AIs or AEPs, whatever they are.
I just commit to design. It sounds like you meant like use the programs more.
Yeah, but like
I don't think that's what commit to design means in my opinion.
No, I mean, I don't think it's just use the programs more. I think it was like actually learn design as
philosophy and stuff like that.
Exactly. As like
a discipline.
A discipline, yes.
That's hard as fuck.
It is. And spoiler alert, I didn't do it. I didn't commit to design at all. Because look, I mean, at the time, I thought that the year was going to go a lot differently. But more or less what happened was I had other shit to do, and I just didn't want to spend my weekends fucking around
in
Illustrator.
Work got in the way of life.
It really did. Like, the first 5 months of the year, we ended up on this project that we thought was going to be great, but really, it took twice as long as it should have. We didn't get paid extra for it, and it just sucked, and I was the only person really on that.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was my thing, and that's what I had to pay attention to.
I will say, though, I feel like it's probably more useful. Like, you already have like a rudimentary knowledge of the tools.
Yeah.
And in some cases you have an intermediate, if not higher, knowledge of some of the tools.
Sure.
I think that really you could have just committed to design by subscribing to like two newsletters, just like reading one design newsletter a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ultimately, like, that'll just change your thinking, is the way that you're looking for different things. It doesn't matter how to use the fucking program.
I more or less already do that, though.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, so you did. Don't say you didn't do it. You might have. Maybe you did do it.
But I didn't.
Do you look for different things when you look at things now than you did a year ago?
I mean, a little bit. I've learned small amounts, you know, like on Reddit, I'm subscribed to like motion graphics and Illustrator subreddit, you know, things that I'm like kind of tertiary with, you know, it's not really my, I'm the same thing. I subscribe to colorists. I don't do any color work, but like, I still like kind of understanding what those specialists do and learning a little bit more. And then even on TikTok, like when I first got TikTok, I specifically found any motion graphics or, you know, design accounts that I could follow. And I wanted my TikTok to be mostly that. And obviously the algorithm had different plans
different
for me.
Thoughts.
But, you know, when I go into my following, I see a lot more of that than I do on my For You page. There's some commitment,
I feel like
but
in
not
that
a
way
full
you,
commitment.
Yeah, but in that way, you know. Yeah, you got halfway there. I wouldn't say you completely didn't do it, you know. Because that's what I did.
I didn't do a single project this year that was...
Yeah, but I mean, like, what's there to do? You know what I mean? Like, what's there to fucking do? You only have to design things when there's things to design.
Yeah, but there's always something to... Like, I could design a logo specifically for the Sizzle Reel Cold Line, you know?
Yeah, you could have.
I could have.
What happened? with that burr?
I kind of did with using Dolly, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think you actually did in some episodes. I didn't post it anywhere.
No. But... You know, there's things I can find things to design. I can design a fucking logo for Shoelace. You know,
that's
like,
true.
That would be fun.
But yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
I could design a tattoo that I would be interested in getting. You know, like,
yeah, that makes sense. I guess there's things like that. To me, like when I think about design, I just think about like following, you know, accounts like, I don't know. There's this one account I follow called Aisle One on Twitter. I think about like following accounts and go into sites and reading newsletters that like teach me more about ideas and kind of make me think like, oh, that's very interesting. Like, oh, these are some examples of posters made by this guy in Denmark in the 90s for this museum. And you're just like, that's interesting. I didn't think about like using text this way or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, or this is a cool like color theory thing. Or
I mean, I went to the poster house once.
There you go. I'd say don't tell yourself you didn't do it, because you kind of did it. You phrased it vague enough that like,
okay,
you can say now you're more committed to design than you've ever been.
That's true. My next one's even vaguer, but I'll let you go first.
Mine was very cut and dry. And I think when we did somewhere halfway through the year, we were like running out of shit to talk about. So we actually dipped back into these briefly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Use the camera more. That check.
Yeah, boom, check. You did it.
We're using it right now. We're using the fucking camera. There's nothing to really say about it. We filmed a doc that I still haven't finished editing.
That's okay.
But yeah, the camera's gotten used.
I mean, just looking at yours briefly, it looks like you did more than me. But
but the one I fucked up.
Yeah, we'll have to push that one to next year. So my second resolution, even more vague than commit to design, it was dabble in 3D.
Dabble.
So that, you know, once again, I was riding that wave of like I had just done some actual design work. That people actually
You
use.
Were in the moment when you wrote these.
I absolutely was, because like it had been kind of a slow December, not like terrible, just that's how December goes sometime. So I had all this extra time and I had been doing all these tutorials, and I was really excited to use some of my newfound skills. And that tree fort project was pretty I don't know the word.
It was fresh in your mind.
Yeah, well,
it was inspirational.
It made me feel good. It was like
cleansed your palate.
Satiating, you know, like I felt good about working, you know, like creating something, like I felt invigorated, whatever.
Let me play the other side of that, though. I think the reason you felt good and invigorated about it is because the client is so chill and they saw it and were like, this is great, we love it.
Well, yeah,
imagine if they came back to you and were like, change all of this, these colors are like wrong, we'd rather have this be this color, the font needs to be small. Like if they give you a ton of notes on your billboard or your bus wrap, you probably would have been like, yo, fuck this.
Yeah, of course I would have been annoyed, but like that wasn't really the thing that made me happy about it, that they liked it. It was just the fact that I created something that, like, going into it, I had never done that. Like I was completely out of my league. Like, I've never worked as a designer in that way. And so just like the fact that I was able to work through it and troubleshoot and then like create stuff that I was fairly proud of, you know, it's not amazing, but like it was a lot of work to get there. And
And it got approved and it got made. Ultimately.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a bus that got wrapped in the thing you designed.
Exactly.
And there was billboards out there. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I just like I was stoked on it and I was like, I'm going to ride this wave and maybe I'll try out Cinema 4D or Blender as well, because I thought I was going to have more time in my hands. And, you know, I did even less of that than design. I literally did not open Cinema 4D. I did not open Blender. I did not even attempt to dabble in 3D.
That's probably good.
I'm pretty sure I forgot that I said this immediately. You know,
it's probably like, good that you didn't attempt it, because I messed with 3D for a couple weeks at the end of last year, and it is too much, man. It's like, again, like
I'm a 2.5D kind of guy.
If I was like 19 years old and my like things I had to do in life were go to class for like 5 hours a week or whatever, 6 hours a week, and like that's it, and my rent was like $200 a month,
sure,
then it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll mess with Blender. That's the only reason I even know how to produce music, is because like when I had time in college, I learned how to produce music, and I taught myself how to play guitar and piano and like use FL Studio and use Pro Tools and shit, because it's like I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, it was something to do. Like, and it was interesting to you.
As you're older, you have fucking life. There's responsibilities. There's shit to fucking do.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't blame you for
that. I got to drink and watch football this weekend, you know?
Like, yeah, but also, those, I mean, social commitments are real commitments.
Yeah, they are.
You know?
They are.
It's like, it's just the fact is there's less time to do them, right?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get down on yourself about the 3D thing. I also wouldn't even fucking bother starting it, to be honest.
I don't think
Blender
I'm going
is
to.
Hardcore.
Yeah, no. Unless I have a real good reason to do it, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But also, this was dabble. It was literally just if I spent a week doing one tutorial, I could have checked that off.
Yeah.
I did none of it.
Zero. Well, all right. That one's an X. For me, I wrote team building exercise, Sleep No More. I wanted to take the team to go see Sleep No More. I felt like it's a great creative thing. We did it.
Check
that one off. I had a good time. Everyone had a good time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Your next one was do a photography project.
Yeah, it was.
That one, did you take any pictures on your phone at all?
I took a lot of photos
also,
this year.
Also, just for the record, it is December 27th for recording this. So you do have like 4 days. If you want to like put some photos together, open up Blender, you can actually check
I should
all
do
these
it.
Off.
I should do it. I should combine the two. I should take like a photo that I like a series of photos and turn them into like a 3D landscape or some shit like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Knock them both out.
And think about the design while you're doing it.
Of course. Of course.
The trifecta.
I did not do a photography project really. You know, I have a one of those instant cameras, the Instax, and I took a lot of photos.
It's like a Polaroid kind of.
Yeah, it's like a Polaroid. And you know, I did some photos with that here and there, and I have a Holga that I still haven't gotten anything developed from. I think I still have a few more shots in it. So basically, no, I didn't do a real project. I took photos. Everyone takes photos.
You dabbled in it.
I dabbled in it. But like I didn't actually like come up with an idea for a project. You know, it wasn't like a bigger piece of anything.
Yeah.
I think I'll have a better shot at doing this next year, like probably in Europe, honestly.
And, that makes sense.
And I bought a new camera this year, like just a it's like a Fujifilm digital camera, but it kind of looks like, you know, an old film camera. And I took it out one day, but I was having issues with it. Like, it wasn't necessarily saving things to the SD card. And then I got frustrated because it's a fixed focal length and it's not a interchangeable lens. So I, you know, that obviously that can be great for a lot of reasons, but for the most part, it was like way too wide for what I was looking for.
That sucks.
And, you know, it's just,
If it doesn't match the vision that you're looking for.
But here's the thing. I haven't sold the camera yet. I used it one day. I haven't sold it. And it was a lot of money. So now I'm like, do I just keep it and bring it to Europe and try again?
Probably.
Yeah, right?
I would say so.
Because
who knows? Maybe you can mess with it and put like a different, like freelance a little lens in front of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of do some shit why not? Crazy with it. I don't know.
They might have adapters for it. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, so that one, you still got time. You can still do it. You got, like I said, we're recording this on December 27th. Technically 4 days, so you could bust out a crazy photo project.
I think I'm going to push that one into next year.
But mine...
Carryover.
My last one, I can't correct this one. One is done. I cannot, in 4 days, there's nothing I can
it's
do
too
about
late.
It. It was don't spend money recklessly, specifically with freelancers.
This might have been our most reckless spending year yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, but you know,
not necessarily
what?
With freelancers.
It was, So I said, I did write specifically with freelancers. I did a better job.
We were better. We were better. Not perfect.
But yeah, all the money I saved on the freelancers, I spent it going to New Orleans. So,
yeah.
But it's okay because that was our
and
last
Vegas.
Hurrah. But Vegas was NAB. That's, you know, that's acceptable.
Sure.
But New Orleans, that was our last hurrah. That was
the big
50 year anniversary for the company, and that was it.
Well, and we also brought on Will last year as like a permalancer.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just in general, we used a lot of freelancers this year. I mean, look, honestly, even Flora, like,
I guess we did. Yeah, you're right.
Like, we like having Flora around, but we don't, you know, necessarily need her. That's just something that we want to do. We want to bring on people and have them learn, right?
Yeah. And then
and
also,
like,
I
do
mean,
fun things.
I mean, if it wasn't for Flora, we wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't be filming this. Like, we, you
it's
know,
it's true.
I mean,
yeah.
We would just keep making the same stupid podcast that like six people listen to on the radio or whatever.
Yeah.
Audio,
yeah.
Audio, radio, whatever.
It's, so I wouldn't call it reckless, but it's like, if we really had to tighten our belts, there's a lot of places we could do it.
Hey, you know what? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen this year. That's
true.
A great transition into our 2023 resolutions, Chris. Let's knock these out. Let's do what we learned last week and let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Sounds
all right.
Good.
2023 New Year's resolutions. Here we go. Why don't you start?
I'll start, and I'm going to carry over one from last year, and it's do a photography project. Just because I have all the equipment that I need for it, I have the opportunity. You know, it's like, what is a crime? It's motive meets opportunity, or something like that. So I'm going to commit the crime of photography this year.
Okay, all right, photo crimes. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Do I go through all three, or do
no?
You
let's go
alternate?
One at a time. So you rolled your photography project one over. So that's a good That's a good one. You know, now it's a 2 year resolution.
New year to 2 year.
You owe two photography projects. Okay, for mine, I wrote, I always have a little caveat in these to try to make them achievable. I wrote, show up a little earlier on average.
Interesting.
On average.
So interesting.
I could have just written show up earlier, but instead I wrote show up a little earlier on average, meaning, you know, if I show up like 2 to 3 minutes earlier every day on average, I did it.
Okay.
So
okay. I like
little,
it.
Just a little bit, you know, baby steps. You know, I feel like you got to get the day started a little sooner. And
yeah.
And then maybe I'll, you know, get more done. I feel like I already get a decent amount done, but
sure.
I'll get more done.
You know, that's interesting that you have that on there, because one of mine is get back on schedule.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same idea. You know, like I've been getting in on average probably for the last 6 months between 11:30 and noon, which like it's fine because I'm usually working until 7. You can still get a lot done. But when we first started the company, I was in there, a lot of days I was in at 9 a.m.
I think we were there between 9 and 10 usually.
Exactly. And then it 9 became 10, which I think is the most realistic option, 10 to 6. I think that's completely fine. But then 10 became 11. And in the last year, it's become noon. And like that's yeah, it's true. Really like it's a slippery slope. And I got to get off that slope, you know, and like yeah. it bleeds into my other parts of life, too. You know, like when I'm coming in early, it means I'm waking up early and probably more likely to go to the gym and like just start my life off right. It means I'm leaving right at 6. I'm not hanging out until 7 or 8, then having a beer. And then like all of a sudden we're out drinking or whatever, you know, like.
I like that part.
I mean, I like that part too, but it's not sustainable yeah. necessarily. And I need to kind of, you know, it's the New Year's and part of the New Year's is usually like eating healthier and working out more and getting waking up early. And that's, it's kind of that idea, but for the business.
Another great part is that if you show up earlier, you can leave earlier.
Exactly. And like, well, and another thing, when you show up at noon, you're eating lunch at like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm not hungry until 10 or 11.
I mean, something that I'm going to try to do.
It's a vicious cycle.
Something I'm going to try to do is like, if I find myself showing up after noon, I'm just like not going to take lunch. Because okay. it's just like, yeah. You know, or like maybe not afternoon, but if it's like close to 1 when I fucking show up, I'm yeah. just gonna like, I'm just gonna fucking finish the day out.
Yeah, I get it.
It's like already showing up at fucking 1. all right, that was your second one. That was so yeah. we had a little kind of overlap there. My second one, try to do more partnership/promo things related to the podcasts, meaning just kind of do more with them, you know? Whether that means live episodes, I don't really think it means live episodes. I think it probably is more. What I had in mind was going to like local radio stations or like independent radio stations yeah. and being like, hey, do you want to license our back catalog, quote unquote license? I'll just give it to you for fucking free.
Yeah. Of course.
Do you want Rounds of Sound? And do you want to put it like your, hey, local college radio station, do you guys have a slot that you need to fill? Here's content. You can have the whole back catalog. You can play them whenever
That'd
you want.
That'd be pretty cool.
You know, stuff like that. Or whether they're partnerships where like, again, with Rounds of Sound, like trying to partner with like a blog. So mm-hmm. like they can curate almost a season of it. And in response, like they help push it. Right. So it gets more listens.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
With Sizzle Reel, I don't think we're going to do any partnerships or promos. No. But with Sizzle Reel, it's maybe more like just try to up level like what we're doing. Be more consistent with segments and like, you know, with Flora helping with the videos, it'll be tight.
Yeah, so just like, kind of expand a little bit.
Yeah, do a little
kind
more
like
work
on
it. Kind
of like my stomach over the holidays.
There you go. Do a little more work on it just because like, now that it's been like 2 years since starting the podcast. So at this point, it's 2 years into the experiment where it's like, okay, yeah. now like there's no really excuse to not like push it more. At this point, it's like either
take it seriously
or
don't
just
do it.
Don't do it. Yeah. yeah, exactly. So I'm going to try to take it a little more serious, I guess.
All right. So my third one, we talk about it all the time, but I would like to add AI into more workflows.
Yeah.
For example, using DALL-E to produce like a vector image that I can edit from there. Like basically just using it as the first step in a design, or, you know, like we talked about with ChatGPT, yep. just, you know, using it as, you know, almost like a writer's room to bounce ideas off of in a way mm-hmm. and like see where I can develop things, you know, and I don't think there's going to be a ton of opportunities for this, but I think they will be there here and there. And like, it doesn't even have to be client work. It can just be, I want to make some dumb shit and I'm going to start with DALL-E and then bring it into Illustrator.
I mean,
hell, maybe I'll bring it into Blender. Go you know back to last year.
You know what's funny? ChatGPT, I think, is definitely a great use case for some of this stuff. There was some reason like a few weeks ago that I needed to use it mm-hmm. for something. It was either podcast related or video related.
Right.
I didn't have my laptop with me, so I was trying to do it on my phone, but it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But it happened where like my brain immediately was like, oh, this would be good, and it would save you like 45 minutes or 30 sure. minutes, 30 minutes of work.
Sure.
And the fact that my brain is even thinking like that is already good, I think.
Absolutely.
But you know, another thing, I have it pulled up on my computer out there, and I'll show it to you when we get off, but it's like a plugin pretty much that, you know, is a...
Like a browser plugin or...
I think it's a Premiere plugin that's basically, you know, uses AI to... And I know they probably have scripts that do this, but it uses AI to, like, get rid of... It's like a noise gate combined with editor, like a cut tool.
Okay.
So what happens is you tell it, hey, anything that's where the audio drops below this level, just get rid of it. And you can feed like a whole string out into it. And so that way, like if you have, you know, an interview where clearly there's one mic to focus on, that's the person talking.
Yeah.
You know, you can just feed it right through there. It'll chop out all of that and give you a condensed string out that's got all the silence gone.
That's
so
sick.
Like even something like that, like as simple as that.
Yeah. Just
it's already super
useful. Yeah. Almost using it as like a crude assistant editor just to get you started and save a little bit of time.
And you're talking about the Croods, the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. The 3D animated
caveman is going to be your assistant editor.
Yep, exactly. I mean,
the Crood himself.
Look, if I can edit, a caveman can edit.
Crudité is more like it.
Ooh, crudité.
I even have like all these things pulled up on Twitter that are like, you know, like this one is, I don't know, browser automation. Like, I don't know, AI, look, it's a fucking... weak ass take, obviously, like everyone thinks it, but like AI is gonna be the big story next year.
Yeah, of course.
My last one is direct some sort of short form series. I want to try to direct like a little short form series of anything. Like I kept it very vague on purpose because I just think it'd be fun. I haven't done it in a while. Last time I did it, I haven't done it since I lived in New York, so I think it'd be fun to do it again.
Okay. Do you have any like?
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of ideas, but it just matters. It's about like how I want to do it and who can get involved and stuff like that. Because I think depending on who's in front of the camera, that's what's going to really determine what the idea is, right?
Okay.
Like,
I mean,
food stuff, sports stuff, it's whatever. There's a lot of stuff.
Just like short form content.
Yeah, general. Pretty much. I mean, yeah, or even like
is it gonna be a YouTube thing or like a
yeah, probably ends up on YouTube. I don't know.
Staying vague about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just want to like, you know, this year I went and did the doc and it was like a big thing and it's like very time consuming and life consuming. And now I'm like, when I'm done with that, I'm gonna be ready to like make small little bite sized things again, things that I can go and shoot over the course of 1 or 2 days and edit over the course of a week and it's like done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cause I did some short form things with John and with Will this year where like, and Ian,
that's true.
Me and
you did
Ian
like
worked
the
on
little,
some stuff where they were like
the
vlog
vlogs,
style things. Yeah. So like anything like that, but more serialized where like I can actually go do something that has, you know, that is a series, right? It's short form and it's a series.
A sandwich show.
Yeah. Something like that. Like any, like literally anything, you know, the world of possibilities.
You did do Coffee Boys for a little bit in New York, right?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. We did Coffee Boys, but that's been
5 years.
Even something like that though. Yeah. Something that's like more kind of fun. Like I think Sizzle Reel is actually,
that's about it.
It's about something. Yeah. And with video now it's cool, I guess, but I'm not like directing. There's nothing to direct.
Yeah.
You know, we're just sitting here fucking bullshitting. All right. That's it, I think, for the resolutions. You want to get to what we learned last week?
Sure.
All right. Hit it. What we learned
last week. All right. So this one is a little bit embarrassing, I guess, because I'm a big hockey fan. But I just learned. Now, at this point, I learned this 3 weeks ago because we skipped what we learned last week.
We skipped two.
But I just learned that Tim Horton of Tim Horton's Coffee fame was an NHL player for the Maple Leafs and that he died in a car wreck in like a DUI single car accident.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Damn, son. I just learned about the car wreck thing. So it's probably from the same source. Wasn't it like, was it a comedy thing?
I have no idea.
Oh, wait, no, you know what? I learned there's a podcast called Busted Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I learned that he died in a car accident. But yeah, I knew that Tim Horton was the hockey and coffee guy.
Well, so like I would have believed that like it was named after him, but I didn't realize that he started it, you know, like that it was he started something called the Tim Horton Donut Shop, Donut Industries. I had no idea. I never thought, I've only been to Tim Horton's once And it, like, it was just, we went through the drive through and got a coffee, you know?
I've never been to a Tim Hortons. I've walked by one a bunch, but I've never been. But they're like Starbucks, you know?
Yeah,
they're
I mean,
they're just as popular.
I think they are owned by Burger King now or something like that.
Makes sense. R.I.P. Tim Horton.
And so is Firehouse.
Fuck! Yeah. R.I.P. Robin and Chris. names? Soderbergh or something like that. Sorensen.
Yeah. We have the sauce in the fridge.
The fact that I know the names of the owners of Firehouse is like a problem.
I think my sister knows them.
They're fucking legends. I heard they have a ranch out in Montana.
Yeah.
It's like paparazzi shit. Chris and Robin Sorensen, if you're listening, invite the Sizzle Reel out to the ranch, man. We'll do a show live from the ranch.
Hell yeah.
We'll eat Firehouse subs while we do it. I learned that Descript does voice cloning, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to feed in a bunch of, I'm going to export, I think, our separate mics for like, I don't know, 5 or 10 episodes and just feed everything in there. And
then have ChatGPT write a script for us.
Yeah, basically. I want to try to mess with that.
One day we're going to drop a completely AI episode and see if anyone calls us out on it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Or maybe just an AI segment or something. Yeah, like why not? I don't know. I guess what I would have to do, because I feel like it can't comprehend things that are more than like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, maybe a segment's
so
a good idea.
So I probably have to have it make a bunch of different segments or something like that. It would probably be pretty easy to tell. Okay, Chris, any last things you want to plug all the stuff before we leave?
Yeah, why not? We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email. And, you know, we're Shishkin Productions on TikTok. You might actually start seeing some of these Sizzle Reel things pop up on the Shishkin Productions TikTok, and hell, that might even get rebranded in the near future. We don't know. There's a lot happening right now. We can't reveal right now, but
I can tell you. I'll tell you. Can I say it? I'll say it.
Yeah, say it.
Flora's buying the company.
Yeah,
it's true.
Thank God. She has no idea what she's getting herself into.
Flora is inheriting a sinking ship. You
know? Yeah, she thinks she's going to make money out of it.
Yeah, but what did you say? Call in? Did you say that yet?
No.
Call
in.
I was listening. I was on my phone. I was like, Chris, take us out of here.
And of course, we have the Sizzle Reel cold line.
Brr.
That is 332-333-4361.
Yeah, call in, dude. Leave a message, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
Dude. Anything else? Should we just go?
No, let's just get the
fuck
out of here.
All right, goodbye.
All right, dude.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.